The band Winger and their frontman Kip Winger are best known for their 1988 hit, 17. The metal frontman has in recent years traded in the stacks of amplifiers for an acoustic guitar and has turned a childhood love of ballet into a second career as a composer. His album, including a piece written for the San Francisco Ballet, was released this summer and quickly went to number one on the Billboard Classical charts. Winger was in town recently playing a show at Eddie's Attic. Contributor Merritt Davis spent years in rock and roll radio and spun Winger's hits on many occasions. Merritt spoke with Kip about bridging the divide between his two musical worlds.
I find it just so fascinating. You're here in Atlanta, Decatur, doing a solo show focusing on your music from Winger, and you have this whole other phase of your career into classical. So tell us, when you do a solo performance, what is the focus?
Yeah, so my solo acoustic show is all the Winger hits and a lot of the music that I did on my previous solo album. So I have four of those. So more in the Americana meets Peter Gabriel feel. But when I do this, it's solo acoustic, so it's me and a 12-string guitar. It's very broken down. And I've been doing it since 1998, when our brand of rock was completely out of fashion, and the only gig I could get was like a Borders bookstore. So I developed this acoustic thing since then. So I was kind of one of the original, quote, unplugged guys. And I've been doing it ever since, and I love it. It's absolutely awesome. I'm very lucky to be able to play with my band in when we tour as a heavy rock band. Then I can do my solo acoustic thing. And then, I've got this other budding career as a classical composer.
I want to talk about that for a minute, because here you early on in your career, it seemed like, you know, things were happening fast and furious, and then as fast as it hits, it goes south. You saw yourself from big arenas to a Borders bookstore. What does that do to you personally?
It does a lot of things. There wouldn't be one psychological underpinning that you could point to that would make you say, oh yeah, it did that to me. You know, in one day you're selling a lot of tickets, the next day you're not selling any tickets. One day you have a record deal, the next day you don't have a record deal. One day you have publishing and all the support from the music industry, the next day you are the laughing stock of the industry. So it psychologically speaking, it did many things, most of which were bad. I mean, I can't say it was fun. On the other hand, you had to take it in stride, and I always say this on stage, that if you're an 80s guy, you can't take yourself very seriously. You just can't do it. Because if you believe in being famous too much, it will ruin you. So you can't hang your hat on the fame card. Once you believe it too much, you become a parody of yourself. So what did it do to me? It forced me to go back to my original goal, which was studying music, which is always what I've done. And I probably wouldn't have gotten as far as I have had I still been a huge rock band, because you're constantly touring, you're putting an album out every year, and people come to know you as a brand. So you don't want to buy Captain Crunch and open it up and Lucky Charms come out. You know, you have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I am not that kind of artist. I'm the kind of artist that needs to keep moving, needs to keep changing, needs to keep exploring, and I never want to be repeating myself. So as painful as it was to be very, very famous, sell out huge venues, and then go from that to nothing, it probably is what I needed in my life to get to where I am now.
Well, and let's talk about that, because what a left turn. Here you come out with a classical album that's number one on the classical charts. Did that make you feel like I've made it again? Was that more rewarding than the career in the 80s?
In many ways, yes, because the journey was so much longer. I mean, early in my days, even in Winger, I left what I would call breadcrumbs of classical music. There's a string quartet on Hungry, and there's Song Rainbow in the Rose. And so I feel very proud that I went from just talking about it to actually doing it. That's one thing. And then, you know, being number one in Billboard was amazing, absolutely amazing, because I've never had a number one anything, for one thing. So to put as many years of studying into it, I had to go back to the beginning and learn how to become literate at classical music, speak to the musicians in their language. So that took a long time. And for it to have this outcome is indescribably awesome.
Did you expect that when you put together this album, and you were putting together a classical album, did you expect not only the success in sales, but it seems like an outpouring of people suddenly want to get to know you again?
I didn't expect it. I've learned not to expect anything, because expectations can really end up hurting you in the end. And it's still selling, which is really strange. And what's even weirder to me is that my rock fans come up at my shows and say, I love this album, and tell me about this track. And they don't know what to call it, because in classical music you have, you know, movements. And they say, what about this song? And, you know, I get to help educate the rock fans about classical music. And I've recommended music to people. I mean, oh, you got to check out, you know, this piece by, you know, Goretzky or Ravel or something. And then I'm, you know, kind of doing my one man spread the word about classical music, you know, campaign, which is very nice. And it's thrilling for me, because I'm really excited about it.
You're just so cultured. You really are, because I want to talk about your work with the San Francisco Ballet.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I studied ballet when I was a kid, and that's really what got me into all of this. I've told the story many times, but I had a girlfriend who wanted to take ballet, and none of her friends would do it with her. And for me, my brothers and I did karate, so it was kind of like a musical version of Bruce Lee. When I went into the studio, I saw these people holding their legs up over their head, and I heard this amazing music coming out, and saw how athletic it was, and I thought, you know, this is for me. I took to it like a duck to water. Moved to New York at 21 and continued to study all through my Winger days, and I actually, the last ballet class I took was 6 months ago, so I'm not in the shape I was then, but, you know, what are you going to do? You know, ballet did kind of lead the way, and it's always been a thing that I've always wanted to write music for. So around 2000, I met a choreographer named Chris Wheeldon, and he was an up-and-coming choreographer, extraordinarily talented person, and he's gone on to be huge. Just got a Tony for the choreography in American in Paris, which he also directed. So sent him some music. And he happened to like it, you know, a lucky stroke for me. He asked me to make a longer piece, and then I sent it to him and didn't hear anything for a long time. And then one day in my inbox, I get an email from Chris Wheeldon saying, I'd love to use this for San Francisco Ballet. It was absolutely surreal. Like, oh, by the way, I love this music, and you're going right to the top. You know, so make no mistake. I mean, I owe Chris for that. You know, he was the guy who was commissioned by San Francisco Ballet, and he chose my music, so that was an honor for me. And it turned out to be a huge hit. Very rare that a ballet would run in a ballet's rep that long. It ran in their rep for 5 years. So, and I got to see it at their home base at the Opera House in San Francisco, Lincoln Center, the Chateau Theater in France, in Paris, and, you know, it was really incredible.
Can you talk to me about how you felt when you're sitting in the audience for the first time, and you're as a ballet dancer and as a musician and someone who has taken a real leap in their career, what that felt like that first time seeing your music in action. That had to be a life-changing moment.
Oh, it was extraordinary. You know, I saw it in rehearsal the first time, so I was like, first, and you have to remember, I came into this, you know, when you're a rock guy showing up in a symphonic rehearsal, most people are going to think, well, this guy, A, won't know the language, really. This is going to sound like bad Hollywood soundtrack music or whatever. But my concert music is legitimate concert music. And so that was very gratifying that the musicians took one look at the score and then immediately took me seriously. That's A. And then B, to see what Chris did with the music was absolutely amazing, because it was so much further beyond my wildest dreams. It was, the choreography to this particular ballet is absolutely amazing. So, you know, I'm sitting in the concert hall on opening night, and actually, you know, my drummer Rod Morgenstein came out, and he was sitting a few rows in front of me, and I just remember his face turning around, you know, with thumbs up, and I was thinking, wow, this is really happening. You know, it was very surreal. And the first note of the piece is a violin cadenza where you hear ba-da. And I heard that, and it was just, you know, goosebumps in my, and I was excited. It was, you know, I'm not going to lie about it. I was absolutely elated. It's incredible.
With that experience and with having a number one classical album, is there any talk about you possibly producing for another Broadway show or scoring a film? Or it would seem like taking that leap into classical would open a lot of doors. It makes you a more versatile artist. Is that something you're looking to do?
It is, and I'm about to make an announcement on my Facebook page about a musical that I am writing right now. I've been working on it since last October with a guy in New York named Damian Gray. So keep an eye on my Facebook. We're going to announce it in the next couple of weeks.
How exciting.
Yeah,
that is exciting.
And if I can tell you, that form fits me like a glove, because I get to do the classical orchestration, all the classical composition. Writing for voice is something totally new for me, other than my own. So I'm writing for all these voices, and I'm writing for, and I get to do the rock thing in there. So you can, it's a melting pot of all these different genres that I have learned to do over the years. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm having a blast doing it.